Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How about this women's basketball phenomenon and how all of a sudden Caitlin Clark, well, not all of a sudden, she's been doing it for 4 years, but really the last 2 years, has put women's basketball squarely right there in the front of everybody, and everybody enjoying it and looking forward to watching her play, and her play against LSU, her play against South Carolina. And I have to say, not only was she what I consider a big winner through this whole thing, but the other big winner through this whole thing is Dawn Staley, the coach of South Carolina. I mean, she had a deep team, and that team was, they're going to be good. They're going to be good for a bunch of years. But what she said after the game about Caitlin Clark and how she kind of diffused all this vitriol out there in regards to this young woman who is just an incredible basketball player. She sees the basketball court like Larry Bird saw the basketball court. She passes like Larry Bird. She makes plays. She gets rebounds. She can hit threes. Very few people see their sport the way the real true superstars see the sport. You know, she's not flashy. She's just incredibly, incredibly, just sees the court. She has this natural thing about her that the top players like a Steph Curry has it. A Kobe Bryant has it. Michael Jordan had it. Larry Bird had it. Magic Johnson had it. You know, they see the court differently. They see it better than and more clearly than anybody else. And a lot of times she'll throw a pass and her teammate will have a hard time handling it because they can't believe that the pass is coming to where it's coming to. So it's unfortunate she didn't get her national championship, but her legacy will stand the test of time as one of the, if not the greatest single college female basketball player of all time.
Yeah, I watched a lot of this yesterday. The fact that it was on at 3 p.m., tipped off at 3 p.m. was perfect. You didn't have to stay up at 9 o'clock tip-off like you get with the men's college basketball. The thing I couldn't understand, though, was some of the hating that was going on leading up to this game. And I guess Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird, who were two legendary women's college basketball players and pro college basketball players, both were asked, who would you take, Caitlin Clark or Paige Beckers? And both of them like, oh, Paige, we're moving on. Like, and they kind of dismissed her. And then there were some other people that had some negative things. I don't understand why. I mean, is it a jealousy thing? I mean, the fact that Caitlin Clark was the person to put women's college basketball in a place that had never been in, and they weren't able to do it with their greatness, so they resent her. I don't understand.
I think there's a couple things going on here. There is one, those girls went to UConn, so they're going to support Paige Beckers and Juno Auriemma and their program, and their program is basically, sure, what all programs aspire to be, by mm-hmm. the way.
Yeah.
So you can understand. I understand a little bit of that. There's a little bit of Homerism in that. I just think that, you know, Dawn Staley said it best. She carried women's college basketball on her shoulders. And for that, I thank her for putting us on the map. For what, you know, there have been other great players too. You know, there's been a lot of great players. But this player in particular just is a different player. She just, like, I just went over and compared it to some other players that I think had the same abilities that she has. I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that she's in Iowa, and you can't believe that this Iowa girl who stayed in Iowa, and she gets a lot of commercials. She's all over the place. She gets a lot of play. She's the AP Player of the Year.
I knew Francisco Lindor was in a slump. I didn't realize until that game started yesterday he was in an 0-for-24 slump. Well, here he was yesterday. He doubles early, and then
2-1 pitch. Swing and a high fly ball to left field. It's deep. Steer going back to the warning track. At the wall, he turns. It's gone. First of the year for Francisco Lindor.
That's Pete McCarthy on WCBS 880. Lindor gets off the schneid with his first home run, put the Mets up 3-0. They would beat the Reds 3-1, taking 2 of 3 in the series. Starling Marte, a couple of hits, and Sean Manaea, five innings for the win. Carlos Mendoza, nice to win the two out of three.
Yeah, it's a good series win, you know, especially tough one yesterday. But the guys came back today, battle, prepare, put some good at-bats. And, you know, I thought we created traffic, especially in those early innings.
In the early innings to get that three-run lead. Edwin Diaz, his second save. Here was Lindor. Finally, nice seeing some results.
Yesterday, I felt like I had good at bats, and the day before, I had good at bats. It's one of those where they just need to go through, you know. And today, as soon as I hit the ball, I peeked out of my down, put my head down, and then I looked at it again, and I knew it went through. I was like, oh, okay, thank God.
And then he's talking about the double that he hit down the left field line over the bag. And then Manaea. Five innings. He was real good his first time out, too. So far, so good.
Just feeling good and just trying to be consistent. You know, at the end of the day, that's all I can ask for and, you know, control what I can control and, you know, just keep it in work. So, yeah, everything's feeling good right now. So just keep doing that. And I think we're in a good spot.
Well, he's in a good spot. They're still 3-6, but 3-6. They got a couple of wins over the weekend. Not too bad. Mets in Atlanta tonight. Julio Teheran makes the start against his former team on WCBS 880 at 720. And then this mind-numbing news about J.D. Martinez. Not ready. Still needs more time. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have an answer. I don't think anybody has an answer. I don't know. But it's also, as we said before, like you get someone like Francisco Lindor who's had an entire spring and then comes up and can't hit. So what else do you just get
come
out
up
there
and swing a bat?
Just really, yeah. That's all you need to do. You've been doing this forever. You're like 50 years old now, J.D. Martinez. Go out there and do it.
This is a source that I actually believe and respect because he has covered the New York Giants for many, many years here in New York and now works for Fox Sports and has Ralph Bacchiano. He's also been on SNY for years. So when he puts out a report and people familiar with the Giants thinking, I tend to believe him more than maybe someone, you know, a national guy, one of these draft Nick people. So when he said this, I was very intrigued. So according to Ralph Bacchiano, the Giants are most enticed by Drake May. So much so, the quarterback out of North Carolina, if you don't know. So much so that if he gets past the Commanders at 2, which a lot of people believe that he will, because you've got Caleb Williams first, you've got Jaden Daniels, according to Brian Kelly, allegedly going to the Commanders at 2, so Drake May should be there at 3, that the Giants would heavily consider making a blockbuster move and throwing everything at the New England Patriots at 3 to go up and get Drake May. Now, the Patriots have said that they have to get, like, completely blown away. They haven't said it themselves, but you know what I'm saying. The reporting around it, completely blown away to move off of 3 because they need a quarterback themselves. But apparently, more so than J.J. McCarthy, more so than Jaden Daniels, the Giants are in love with Drake May.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm not totally overwhelmed by him. You know, I just don't feel like, okay, he jumps off the page to me. And maybe there's something they're saying that I don't see. And maybe they've met him and they like him and they believe that he's one of these kids like J.J. McCarthy that is going to be all about football and is going to be totally locked in and is going to be a great leader. And maybe he has a great reputation coming out of North Carolina. I just, you know, the three teams at the top of the draft all need quarterbacks. And we know at least 2 of the 3 are going to draft quarterbacks, and that would be Washington and that would be Chicago. What the Patriots are doing, and they need players. They need more players. They don't have enough players. And they do have Jacoby Brissett, and maybe they draft somebody in the second or the third round, like a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix Jr., somebody like that, that could be their future quarterback or potential future quarterback. But, man, this also could be a smokescreen, you know, to try to get Washington to take Drake May.
So I'm driving in this morning. I was listening to C-Mac do the, like, we used to have that show on Saturday mornings with the late Rick Wolf, who would do, like, Little League baseball stuff and aluminum bats versus wooden bats. And C-Mac was doing, like, 20 minutes on why pitchers get hurt and too many kids and youth baseball throwing too much and Tommy John surgery and all that stuff. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, this should be right on the Saturday morning. You should take over on that show. But then I stuck with it and I was ready for the warm up show. And then I heard Peter Schwartz doing the overnight update. And here is the end of that update that I wanted to share with you to get your opinion
Okay.
Your journalistic opinion.
All right. Love it.
All right. So let's take a listen.
Devils lose to the Predators 3-2 in the shootout at The Rock. And at WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia, Cody Rhodes, he finishes the story. He defeats Roman Reigns to win the WWE Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship. And that's what's happening with Sports Flashes at the top of the hour. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Okay.
All right, so WWE is scripted.
Yep.
It's not a sport.
It's not. I mean, they are athletes, and what they do is I could never do. However, the results are scripted.
Right. I understand everything that, and I've seen all the documentaries. I've seen all the horrors of what, you know, former wrestlers have gone through.
Yeah.
I now know that, you know, of course, The Rock was involved in this thing.
Yeah.
He looked great, and everybody is, but it's like going to a Broadway play.
Yeah, it's essentially like, now I know the finale last night, I have not seen it, of Curb Your Enthusiasm. The series finale was last night. It's essentially like saying what happened at the end of that finale and putting it in the sports update. It's the same type of thing.
Yeah, so I guess Peter is obviously a huge wrestling fan, I would imagine.
Or his kids are, whatever. I mean, enough to put it in there. I mean, and I am not downplaying the popularity of WrestleMania. It was huge. The link was filled. It got probably a gazillion pay-per-view buys or a Peacock, whatever. But to put it in the update after the devil score? Come on! So I brought this to Izzo back there. And Izzo was, he was arguing back. He had the other side of things. Like, oh, it's a big deal that whatever his face beat Roman Reigns.
It is a big deal. But again, it's a scripted event.
Yeah.
And they who are scripting know who is going to win. And I know the acrobatics of it all are incredible. And to see men that large doing what they do to entertain is something that you can respect. But it's, to me, it's a scripted outcome.
I mean, it should not be in the sports update. You agree?
No, yeah, of course not. Right. And by the way, he could have done that 24 hours earlier, and he would have known who would have won.
Yeah, and I just it's very true. And just to shout out this WWE commentator that I found out I actually worked with. His name is Corey Graves, and I was looking at this guy, and I'm like, I think I know him, and it turns out I do. He was doing weekend overnights back in 2010 on 93.7 The Fan, which was the station I worked at in Pittsburgh. His real name was Matt Polinsky. He's a Pittsburgh native. He was breaking into broadcasting.
So he changed his name?
Well, yeah, you got
it. I guess I've wrestling, you got to, right?
I mean, the Ultimate Warrior changed his name, too. You know what I'm saying? Well,
do you think if Peter Schwartz, since he is using these airwaves to promote that,
yeah,
do you see Peter Schwartz as becoming a voice of wrestling?
No, I do not. But this guy did. So he was breaking in the business, trying to get into broadcasting one way or another. I think he actually was a wrestler, like in the local wrestling circuit. And he has worked his way up now. I mean, all these somewhat 14 years later, he's now like one of the lead voices of WWE. So that's a really, really cool thing. And I'm happy for the guy.